everybody. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I want to thank you for joining me on another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. I love the middle of the week. It's just this thought that, okay, I'm almost there, and look at all that we've been a part of already. So forgive me if I get a little excited because it's Wednesday. I mean, who gets excited about hump day? Me! So I hope you'll join me on that. Today, I'd love for us to talk about grace. It's my favorite subject, and it's something I'm in desperate need of all the time. I worked with a person back years ago, and she taught me one of the greatest lessons. She would say this over and over again. She would say, grace is only grace when grace is unexpected. Well, I thought that was pretty powerful, but I thought, is grace the essence of the being of God? I mean, think about this. Is grace the very essence of God, of his being? Well, God, I think, has this perfect establishment in the New Testament that is the same truth about God, where Peter calls him the God of all grace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, he is the God of all grace. I worked with a guy a long time ago, and we were running a marketing firm, and he would share with me if I was late on something or maybe I just totally dropped the ball on something, he would say, hey, man, all grace to you. And what I found about this guy was he wasn't getting me off the hook, because later he would come back and say, how are we going to rectify this? What do I need to help you? But he was able to lead with grace. I want to be that kind of person that can lead with grace. The New Testament word for grace originally referred to something attractive and charming that brings delight and pleasure, but it soon came to have the same connotation as its Old Testament equivalent, that of showing kindness and goodwill to the undeserving. I mean, think about it. This is being gracious and kind and offloading goodwill. And to whom? To folks that don't deserve it, right? I mean, isn't this the perfect picture of grace? There's nothing I can really do to make it better. I can't buy more grace. I can't be good enough to get more grace. I can't go to church or mission trips enough for more grace. I simply receive grace because of love. So think about it. If the essence of God in his being is grace, and he himself has said the definition of God is love, then grace and love come hand in glove. And when they do, it is an explosive part of our faith, where we get to see and know this is the one true God. But grace is a difficult concept for us to grab because it's so unlike the way of our human and how we function. It's the human brain doesn't function on grace. We don't fill ourselves up with grace. We invite God to do that. We don't extend grace naturally. I mean, there are folks that are nicer, you know, but I'm talking about truly extending grace when it is unexpected. It's a difficult concept for the human brain to grasp. I mean, our most magnanimous acts are often colored with some selfish motive. Several years ago, I remember I worked with a guy, and it felt like every time he made a statement, all of the people in the room were thinking, I wonder what he really meant by that. You know, here's a guy that when you have to ask that, you wonder yourself, okay, is there any grace that is left there? You know, God made us to glorify himself. So he's pleased when we fulfill his purpose for our creation. Furthermore, he wants the whole universe to see the glory of his grace. And yet his aim is giving us good things. It's not to get anything for himself. This is why he is the measure of grace. He gives because we desperately need what he has to offer. Our external well-being depends on it. One of the first things we learn about the eternal Word who became flesh and dwelled among us is that he is full of grace in John chapter 1, verse 14. His ministry was marked by favor freely extended to guilty and undeserving people, to people whose best efforts were still not enough to make them worthy of his kindness and grace. We would expect nothing less from a God who is full to the overflowing with an innate fondness for giving, for showing kindness to those who have no merit in themselves. That is the way he is. So when I finish a sermon and we're wrapping up a Sunday and I say, let him go before you and make a way, I'm speaking of that grace. When I say, let him go within you to bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, he is always good and you are always loved. When I say that, it is about his grace. And it is mostly The third step, let him come behind you and pick you up and carry you through the middle of the problem with what? Grace. So they might set you down on your two feet victoriously in grace and wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead with grace and wrap his loving arms around you and say, I love you. How? With grace. My friend, you cannot extend grace until you have been overrun by grace. Allow your heart to be filled with grace today, so that you might extend it to those that are not worthy of it any more than you were. God bless you, friend. I look forward to seeing you on Friday. Bobby will be with you tomorrow. And I just hope you have a great middle of the week. Bye now.